So let's just start right at the top. You're thinking about work this morning, right? Where do you get your meaning? Is it from work, or is work dragging you out of your life into something awful, something you can't really write a poem or a hymn about? Well, you will be delighted with our next guest. Alain de Botton is the author of the new book, The Pleasures and Sorrows of Work. He joins us from Bush House in London at the studios of our partner, the BBC. Alain, first of all, good morning and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
I mean, I have to say, maybe sometimes I gush on this show, but this book is a really spectacular beauty of a book. And I'm wondering if the fact that you don't have to work gives you such a sense of poetry about the job so many of the rest of us must do to survive.
I think the interesting thing is that everybody has to work. You know, you can be a best-selling writer and you could retire, but the point is everybody needs to work because it's right at the core of who we are as modern human beings. You can't get through a conversation with anybody without the person saying to you, what do you do? And they're not just asking
exactly.
you, as it were, for a piece of information. They're asking you for your soul. They're asking you, what keeps you going? What kind of a human being are you? Not to have an answer to that is really terrible. That's what makes unemployment so tragic. It's not just the money. It's the denial of, you know, your sheer existence.
And, you know, what this book does, I think, aside from being a piece of art just sort of all by itself, I mean, it answers a question we try to answer every single morning on this program. What is the sort of human dimension, the human narrative behind all of these economic numbers that we talk about every day? This book seems to be a hybrid of books like Working that Studd Terkel did, where people talk about their own jobs in their own words. It's also a kind of a John McPhee sort of book, a portrait of huge pilots of giant ships and things. In your own words, where did you go to get these stories, and why weren't people as candid with you as I thought they might be?
I love, by the way, how you position the book. These are absolutely the two heroes that were kind of guiding the book. What I wanted to do was to give a picture of the modern working economy. We hear words like globalization, etc., but we often don't know what that really means. So I wanted to make a book that would look at 10 very different, deliberately eclectic professions. I've got everything there from transmission engineering to accountancy to rocket science to people who make cookies, a whole range of things. And threaded through these explorations of particular workplaces are large questions like, what are we doing this for? Where's this headed? And also a very subtle thing that keeps coming up is, does this deliver happiness? And if it doesn't, how can we inch a little bit closer to what we all want from our work, which is that we don't notice it is work, as you hinted before?
Well, the ship captains you talk to in the container ports and these giant warehouses that work at night and ship everything that we use every day from here to there around the world, it seemed easy for you to develop a sense of reverence about that work. Why? And then I want to talk about one of the more challenging professions.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot about the working world which is deeply impressive. It's where a huge number of people put their collective energies. You know, it's very easy to hate people when you see them on their vacation looking slightly red-faced and overweight. Perhaps I'm just talking about myself here. But it's, you know, when you see people doing their work, they're doing it halfway decently, it's very moving. Because what you're seeing is human intelligence at work on a task. And that's great to see. And when you go and see, you know, vast factories, huge turbines, the big pieces of equipment of the modern world, there's something just inherently moving. It's the kind of human sublime, and that's terrific.
Was there a piece of equipment you fell in love with?
Well, I went down to South America, to French Guiana, a very strange place where the Europeans have got their space agency where they launch rockets. And I must say, you know, it's a very kind of boy's own thing to like, but you know, seeing one of these Ariane rockets soaring off into the sky, you think, you know, gee, on a good day, human beings are very impressive creatures indeed.
Now, that was the venture to produce Wow Wow TV in Japan to compete with NHK. They needed to launch a satellite, and they all went down there to watch the launch. That was their job. Did you envy them?
I did envy them, you know, because they're part of a giant collective project. Science and technology moves in teams nowadays. We've got this idea that, you know, scientific geniuses are always sitting there in their garages coming up with amazing things. But really, science and technology is a collective thing. And there's something beautiful, again, about seeing a vast team of people. Each team is maybe attacking a tiny part of some puzzle in, say, satellite electrics. They might spend 25 years working out how to, you know, reduce frequency interference above 25 gigahertz. some absolutely tiny thing. That might be their life's work. And it's a kind of devotion that, again, you can't help but find rather moving.
And yet, how do you make reverence, or how do you generate reverence for a meeting about the irritating delay in the completion of the non-audit services annual independence continuance form for annuity engagements, which the accountants you profiled were actually engaged in?
That's absolutely. Well, I went to hang out with accountants partly because accountancy is the quintessential boring job. And I thought I was challenged by this. And I thought it can't be that boring. I mean, really what it is incredibly detailed. We live in a world of such complexity that you do get these professions like accountancy where practitioners will devote their life to a question that seems so arcane. You know, you couldn't ask a person at a party what they did and hope to understand. This takes weeks to understand what on earth they are doing. And it does lead, on a bad day, to a feeling of disconnection, to a feeling that what is the meaning of this work? Because one of the things I think we're all desperate for in our work is meaning. What is meaning? I think meaning comes when you feel that through your work, you've made an improvement to somebody's life or you've reduced their suffering.
And you found it there.
Well, an accountant who sorts out somebody's tax problem is doing that.
Yeah, well, I've smiled when my accountant has given me good news. Finally, you describe processes and industrial mechanisms that are on a huge global scale. In the midst of all that, did you find the human being at the center of it?
Yes, because at the end of the day, it's always the individual worker. And, you know, we haven't changed what we want from our work. We want from our work nowadays what we've always wanted, which is a sense of connection to other human beings, a sense of helping them, a sense of imposing order on a chaotic world. That's what we love work for. It distracts us from terrible things like the fact we're all going to die. It keeps us focused. And as I say, on a good day, we manage to make something which is that little bit better than we manage to be in our private lives, in the rest of our lives.
Well, that's our mission here on The Takeaway. Distracting people from remembering that they're going to die, Alan, and thanks for helping us with that. Alan de Botton is the author of the new book, The Pleasures and Sorrows of Work. It's a beautiful book. It has photographs in it of the places that you visited. Thanks so much for being with
you. Thank you. Thanks so much.